How's it going, Craig?
Good, Andy. You know, Happy New Year's. We're recording this just like the first week after the New Year's, so I think we have a lot of optimism after getting kicked in the head for 9 months straight last year, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was. I'm not gonna like beat a dead horse. Everyone always talks about. Yeah, it was obviously a challenging year in many ways. We came out of it in strong shape, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And it's just kind of looking at this year with a fresher set of eyes, or at least an optimistic set of eyes of what's to come. So I'm definitely excited. On our end, there's just been a lot of projects are starting to come together. And so that's been really cool to see. And it's just, yeah, we've just really been trying to keep the ball moving forward, even if it's not always as fast as I'd like. Things are moving forward and coming together. So I'm like very excited about this year and really feel like the things that we're working on now are less like table stakes stuff. A lot of what we had been doing before was fixing bugs and just cleaning things up and getting in those must-have features to really be in the running for the best tool in our space. And there's still a bit more of that kind of thing to do. But the way it's all coming together and the projects we have in the pipeline just have me super excited, because I think it's just going to be, when we get all this out there, it will just be clearly the best option for practically anyone in our space. And I think this has the potential to be a pretty big year for us. But how are you feeling on your end?
I'm feeling really optimistic. You know, we took the first step towards updating, I won't say pivoting, our focus. So we changed like the hero section and the headline on our site yesterday to focus, you know, pretty equally on like private podcasting. So that is a big step. You know, I think like the fear there is when you do that, you start alienating some of your audience. And I think we, in some ways, took like the chicken shit approach to avoid that. So where we're kind of like straddling the line, or, you know, have a foot in both camps at this point. You know, I can imagine that as the year goes on, that will continue to progress further towards the private podcasting as like our USP, right? To have a, you know, MBA BS kind of term. Like, it will be the thing that we focus on, and from a product perspective, the thing that we really do better than everybody else. Like, that's the goal.
Yep.
So very much like starting that, you know, right here at the beginning of the year, talking about it a lot. And yeah, it feels really good. It feels like what we need to do. It feels like what we want to do, and kind of like feels natural. You know, like I talk about that a lot, like with sales, is like it needs to sound good coming out of your mouth. And I feel like the stuff we have on the site now seems good and marries with where we are with the product. And as the product continues to evolve from a private podcasting perspective, the messaging will continue to get more opinionated, I guess, in that respect. So it's really cool.
This is actually something we're thinking a lot more about in regards to positioning, where up until this point, our public position, like everything on a marketing site, has all been around ease of use and speed, and just geared towards a more casual player. When you get into our content and get into the app, like we do a lot to emphasize that there's a lot of power under the hood, but that hasn't been our leading message. And a lot of the things that we're rolling out this year are for the more power user type kind of audience. And that's where we're trying to figure out is how do we straddle that line of saying, all right, like, yeah, we are easy to use. We will help you build lineups faster. They're going to be better lineups, like all that stuff. But this lets you tap into all the power that no one else has and do all these other things. And it's like, this is a part where I'm most unsure of just the how to navigate that from like a positioning standpoint. Mm-hmm. Where like right now, yeah, like you're not the private podcast company. You've put podcasts, like private podcasting, up there. And I think we're probably going to do something similar where I kind of try to speak to both audiences, but I'm just really not sure about the best way of doing it. So like, how are you thinking about this right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing that everybody says is like, you can't make everyone happy, right? And you,
right.
I think if the product can back it up, you should be opinionated towards your desired audience, you know? And I think for us, like we're working on that from a product perspective. And right now we have to kind of say like, yeah, we're a good solution for both. In a couple of months, honestly, like, and maybe even by the time this episode goes out, we will be able to say like, we 100% are like the best solution for this thing. That's one thing is like almost aspirational messaging, you know, is like, we want to talk to the types of customers that we want to get, not necessarily the customers that we've been getting so far. Because if you're pivoting, like those two are usually different. But from a, like how we think about messaging perspective, when you're gonna, when you run the risk of alienating your base or like a subset of your users, is for us, like we want to think about like, you know, we do this thing. Oh, and of course we do this other thing. You know,
right.
Like, yeah, we do private podcasting. Of course you can do regular podcasting. Of course we have analytics. And of course we have Zapier. And of course we have all this other stuff. So that's how we're trying to say it is like, it's this super awesome tool for this thing. And yeah, of course it does this other thing. If you're not into, you know, private podcasting, you can of course just do regular podcasting. So that's how we're trying to think about it.
Where do you expect the private podcast leads to be coming from? Because where I'm struggling a lot on our end is I don't think, so we get a lot of word of mouth traffic that basically is just searching for SaberSim and going to our homepage from there. We get a lot of SEO traffic just through like other pages we've set up. And generally speaking, that traffic is going to be more on the casual side. And so it's like, I'm just trying to balance where does the messaging need to change everywhere? Are those power users coming in through the same channels that the casual players are? And yeah, I just like, I don't know. So like, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, if people are finding Castos, like the private podcasting thing, through more like less branded mediums and more like they're searching for private podcasts and you rank for that, it seems like you wouldn't even have to disregard the public podcasting as prominently on the main site if that's just not where the private podcasting people are coming from. Does this like ramble make any sense? Like, do you get what I'm kind of getting at?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that we definitely are planning on that for like our corporate customers is like, we're never going to have like an H1 on the site of like internal corporate podcasting solutions, right? Because that's just super niche. But like, we will have a place on the site for those folks, and they're not going to be coming to our site randomly. You know, most of that will be from some kind of sales activity, or they will have heard of us and come there and they'll see the corporate or the enterprise thing and they'll go there and get into the sales cycle. So I think that's like a more extreme, you know, end of that. I don't have a great answer for this, but I definitely have started thinking more about the types of content we're writing and catering towards like the folks that we want to attract for this new messaging and like where we want to promote that content, because it's different, you know, than our traditional podcasting stuff, and like what we want their call to action to be. Maybe even it might not be sign up for a trial. It might be kind of get into the sales process. So I don't have an answer, I guess, but kind of thinking about from like a funnel perspective, like treating our different personas differently, I guess, is the message. And we have a similar thing, I think, where like there's not a lot of search volume for sure around private podcasting. It's a little bit of a challenge that like we are getting these leads by like word of mouth or kind of like random inbound, you know, which is hard to control. But I think that a lot of what we're trying to do is like, it seems overly dramatic every time I say it, but like, you know, start the movement, you know, like really like us be the driver of this as a content medium and in a way to communicate. So I don't know if that would apply for you guys too, that like, okay, you're, you know, cheap and easy and fast, but also like, if you look at this aspirational positioning of like this one kind of person and thing that they're interested in, is it like so different that you guys could be the authority figure talking about this? You know, it's like HubSpot with inbound marketing or Drift with conversational marketing or something like that. I don't know if you guys are, if it's that extreme or not.
Yeah. So that's where it's tough. Cause I think for what you guys are doing is of really trying to drive the private podcasting market, like put, it's a trend that's there that you're trying to ride the wave, but it's not just like a passive thing. You're trying to accelerate it as well. So it does make sense to go more all in on that. For us, there are definitely things we can bang the drum about just the core. And a lot of it comes down to just how we're creating our projections. And we do that by simulating every game thousands of times, which just like through that process, we have data that no one else has. And often like what that means is that for other tools, they're almost like a blank spreadsheet where they have a ton of power, but you have to program it to do whatever you want to do. It doesn't have any intelligence underlying it. And it's not as though we have like this like crazy AI thing under the hood, but we have data that just makes like, yeah, you don't need to tell us you want lineups that do X, Y, and Z, because our data already like knows that. Like it already paints a picture so that we can kind of get people to start from a much stronger foundation. And so there is a lot we can promote there, but I don't think we have to make all of our messaging about that, because I guess in my mind, we have a free trial. If you are a power user, there's not much barrier to just like trying us out and seeing like if, and then the product should speak for itself. And so that's why I view us as, I didn't love the book, but I do view us as like a product-led growth company. And I really want to just minimize the friction to get people in there and see the power. And so I think for those power users, like they're in communities in the daily fantasy sports space. They're going to hear about what we're doing. They're going to kind of consume some of that more advanced content that we're putting out there. They're going to hear about us. And so I don't know if we have to go all in on the positioning for them. But on the other side of the coin, if we go too far for the casual users, it's going to be easier for the power users to brush us off. Like, oh no, like that's just for like new players. Like I'm not even going to give them a try because they're just clearly not built for me. Yeah. So there's just like a lot of mental hoops I've got to jump through to kind of figure out how this all comes together.
Yeah. And I don't think it's wrong to have like options on the site for people to kind of choose a path, whether it's like just an enterprise, you know, bar or like column on the right side of your pricing screen, or a page for each of your personas. Like that's something we're thinking about, is almost like a choose your own adventure homepage, you know, where like, you know, podcast hosting for, you know, amateurs, maybe or hobbyists, you know, or for private podcasting for like the maker community course, you know, whatever, or for companies. Maybe it's not just those three kind of tiles on the homepage, but some way for people to self-identify with that, I think is not wrong. Because the fact is, you guys are like, and we are like a tool for several different types of people. And there's no sense in telling a bunch of people no, that like, this is just not for you. But I do think, and I'm talking to myself as much as like, as much as to you, it's like, you gotta be opinionated in some way to say like, we are primarily at least for this, you know, everyone else can use it too, but this is, you know, what this thing is made for.
Would you consider ever a separate brand?
No, I think that sounds too hard. No, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we went to a lot of pain and effort to get the Podcast Motor brand under one roof. And so I think it would be weird to break this out into another brand.
Yeah. Cause yeah, all I'm thinking about is just, it seems like, yeah, I would just be, I think it's going to be a fine line to walk of saying, hey, we're all about private podcasting. And I don't know if it's as obvious that, of course, we can do public podcasting, because like in my mind, there, as like a layperson, private is the opposite of public. And so like, I think like obviously as like understanding podcasting and understanding what makes a private podcast private and like the technology and all of that, like, yeah, I get that if you can do one, you should be like, if you can do private, you can obviously do public. But I would just be cautious because like I don't know if that will be obvious. And that's why my brain kind of went to another brand, but that opens up a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, that gives me a headache. I don't I don't know. And maybe like if you're not willing to go to another brand, maybe you have to kind of split the difference in the messaging and the positioning to say, like, you know, be a little less opinionated. That seems natural.
We were planning to go in a different direction, but it might actually be a good transition just into kind of more of our approaches or thoughts around marketing right now, because I think there's a lot of things that we could talk to. And so I know Denise, your marketer, somewhat recently left, and you've been working a lot more on the marketing side of the business yourself, really just planning out where you're going with that. And I'm curious, like, how has that been going? And how do you feel with the roadmap? If you have a roadmap, like how do you just feel with the plan from here?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, it's been 2 months almost, and or 6 weeks, I guess, and since her last day. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, all of our bases are covered at this point. I guess the thing that we're looking at now is like a lot of the kind of really regular stuff, like putting up blog content and an email newsletter and all this kind of stuff and marketing analytics is all kind of covered. The one thing that I'm now focusing on a lot is kind of what I mentioned of like on-site conversion. I mean, we're not to the point of doing like true like CRO, but like these right. kind of best practices that you talk about, just like, hey, is there a call to action on this blog post? You know, and does it make sense with what's on that blog post and what you think a person might do? So kind of just thinking about that a lot. And we have like 450 pages on our site, you know, posts or pages. And so it's just a lot of content of like, okay, on, you know, most of these sites, we need to think about and update what the purpose is and like what somebody should do when they get here. So kind of thinking about that from like a framework perspective and then kind of getting a handful of options of like calls to actions and using right message and all that kind of stuff for all of these. That's kind of like where we are. I mean, we're definitely still putting out a lot of content equally around like SEO focused content to get more traffic, but also more, I don't know, like opinion pieces, you know, like having guest contributors write on our blog about things that we probably aren't qualified to talk about. That's just not our expertise. So that's a cool way for us to be able to kind of expand the voice of the blog. So yeah, I mean, those are the few things that we're doing from a marketing perspective right now. And I mentioned before we started recording that like, I just don't want to be the statistic that you talk about of like a bunch of these fucking people that like do a bunch of marketing that doesn't work, because I'm sure we do a lot of stuff that doesn't work, but I hope that, you know, Denise leaving and us kind of having to focus on fewer things means that that we're more sure that the things we're doing are worthwhile. And I don't know if that's true yet, but that's the goal, is we do less things and they're more effective.
Because thinking about the ideas you've talked about, I mean, like building an audience, becoming an authority has immense value. I mean, I worked at Groove for a while, and that was basically their playbook. When I came in, they already had the audience, and it was maintaining that, but it was finding ways to better capitalize on the audience that existed. And that's definitely more my skill than like the building of the audience. And all I would say on that front is it's just like really hard. And it's just making sure you have a clear plan for, okay, we want to develop our authority either through our own voice, through other voices here, but it's beyond the content. It's the, not even just the promotion, but it's the cultivation of that audience that you're building is where a ton of effort needs to go. And I just, like, I have ideas on that, but I've never really done much there. But that's where I think a lot of people go wrong and make the motions not effective on content, is by not thinking about what are they ultimately trying to achieve and what do they need to get there. And to capitalize, to like develop authority in a way that benefits a business, is you need to build a real audience. And that comes from more than just the creating the content. But on the content upgrade side of thing, and the lead magnets and all of that, and this isn't meant to be like I hope you don't mind, I'm just like giving you just off the cuff feedback right now, my thoughts on these ideas. But for that side of it, where I think companies can go wrong and make it so that a lot of their, again, efforts aren't having a positive impact, is by treating all 450 posts the same. There's probably 5 posts in there that if you ignored the other 445, you could just focus on those, and that would drive like over 80% of the results, I'm guessing. And so I don't think you need to ignore them all. But what I would recommend doing is, and we actually did a project like this when we relaunched the blog at Groove, was just had a spreadsheet that was listed out all of the posts. I mean, Ilya Markov, who's, I think he's at Chart Mogul now, kind of spearheaded this. But what it was really doing is just listing out all the posts and identifying, among other things, but like for like SEO, like audits and stuff like that, but like identifying what we want to promote as a lead magnet for each of those. And that's something where some of the posts won't get much traffic and this and that, but you can do it relatively quickly of just going through creating like five different offers and figuring out which five should go where. But then you again, like, just don't want to treat every single piece of content the same. So it's finding those 5, 10, whatever pieces of content that drive not just a ton of traffic, but qualified traffic or have the most intent or whatever it may be, and creating almost their own lead magnet for those and really just putting effort into making those pieces of content even better and all of that. Because ultimately, the reason why I think most marketing isn't effective is because people don't take a differentiated approach to things. They treat every article, they treat every kind of thing that they're doing the same. And that's where it goes wrong. But if you can say, okay, we see opportunities with new content areas to focus on, so let's create some articles as tests to see what can get traction and all of that, like, that's fine. But once you start getting traction, you need to focus the efforts where the most impact can be made. And I think as long as you do that, it's hard to go wrong. It's just really when it comes a battle of churning out a certain number of posts each month and going through the exact same process for each of them and not revisiting them and not devoting more effort to what's working and that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm halfway down the path that you're talking about, I guess. So like we track our events in Google Analytics. So like someone signed up for a trial and someone became a paying customer. We've tracked that in Google Analytics. And so I'm able to see from our, you know, like top performing pages, how many new trials were started from that page. And so that's like mm-hmm. the place I started this week. And this is literally yesterday I did this stuff, but I didn't go through a lot of, you know, okay, what is the offer on this page? And is it unique? I mean, it's all just like a call to action to start a trial. But what I'm hearing you say is maybe like the call to action is like drop in your email and us nurture those folks in email versus just drive them to start a trial today and have like a couple of email sequences that are unique for these high performing pages, especially maybe that don't already convert well to trials. Because we have some pages that convert really well already. I probably would leave those alone and then attack these ones that have a lot of traffic but don't start a lot of trials and try something different there.
See, yeah, this is almost where I would almost do the opposite, where okay. I think the ones that are already, this is also an area where people always want to focus on the things that aren't performing well rather than just doing more of what's working.
Yeah.
And fair. So like, I would guess without looking into like too deep into like the actual posts themselves and all of that, like the ones that aren't converting now, it's probably because it's just lower. It's like way higher in the funnel type of content. It's attracting people mm-hmm. who might not even be thinking about starting a podcast. They might even just be curious, or it might even be a topic that's like not like even as directly related to it. And so it's like, find the ones that are driving results and see what you can do to get more results from them. It's in terms of like a true like 80-20 effort, it would probably look like something saying, okay, I'm going to create one, or like I might have, yeah, these are still things that I'm trying to like wrap my head around and think about a lot. Because originally when I first got into like software marketing, I would just build out too complex of a funnel. And I think there's a lot of merit when you have a free trial. It's like, that is the lead magnet. It's like a low friction offer, especially when there's no credit card required. And so it's finding, like trying to pitch that wherever it makes sense. And then working on making that trial sequence convert as best as it can. That's where a lot of effort should go. And then for the other ones, it's like, okay, once we really feel like we have the actual like high intent traffic converting well, and have identified the spots where we could maybe get more of that traffic, then it's backing up and saying, all right, for these things where the trial offer is just not converting at all, like they're not signing up for it, how could we create a nurturing sequence to try to get them ready to buy. And I set this up at SaberSim, where rather than just like pitching the trial directly on the site, they still had an opportunity to do that, but it was like kind of the right message segmentation where we'd ask them a bit more about what they were doing and like what sports they played and this and that, and like send them a video and then like have a nurturing sequence and all that. And like those got a lot of signups, but it's just like, I think I was overcomplicating it when ultimately the offer was a free trial. It's like, man, just like just sign up for the trial.
Yeah.
You have a lot more content and are getting a lot more traffic from that content. So it starts being worth it for you to think about the nurturing aspect. Mm. For me, I've just
top of funnel stuff, especially.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause you already have that and you're already generating traffic there. And for where we're at, I've made the decision, at least for the foreseeable future, just like, I'm not going to nurture. Down the road, I could mess around with some retargeting to try to get them in a nurturing campaign, this and that, but like, we still have a lot more work to do just on that main conversion piece that I'm not trying to go higher up in the funnel, but you have like the capacity and like already have things that are generating traffic for that more top of funnel stuff. Like that's what I would be thinking about.
Yeah, this is great, man. I totally agree. I mean, it's nice to talk through this. I think the thing as I'm over here shaking my head and thinking about what we were going to talk about originally, and we got totally sidetracked, which is awesome. But just, I mean, and maybe the next episode is like, now I have this thing on my plate and I have a whole bunch of other shit on my plate that is also really important. And like, and this is kind of getting back to your original question of like, how are things going with me kind of owning marketing? Is we're definitely doing less marketing than before because I have other manager stuff that is more important. You know, marketing is super important, but like this other stuff is more important. And so like that balance is, you know, a fluid situation. And like, I don't know if I'm getting it right now or not, but trying to, like we're talking about with this, trying to take really discrete steps and say like, we're going to evaluate these posts and, you know, whatever, bring up the bad ones or improve the good ones and do this thing and then just let it sit for a month and see how it goes. As opposed to like, and I think this is the only way I can kind of stand it is like, as opposed to every day I need to spend 4 hours doing marketing, I just don't have that much time. And I certainly like mentally, like the good glucose just doesn't exist because I have a bunch of other shit that requires a lot of really kind of intense thought and coordination and stuff. So yeah, that's me complaining a little bit.
I mean, what are the marketing things that you feel aren't getting done? Obviously like more, or maybe not. I don't know if you're working with writers or things like that, but like, I would guess like more consistent content isn't being produced, but like, what are the things that have fallen through the cracks?
We have a very good content strategy where right now we're up to a pretty equal amount of like updating existing content to just be refreshed or to include other kind of ancillary keywords and writing new content. And we have a writer that's handling kind of all that. And we have an SEO consultant that we worked with that did all that research. So that's all great. And that's, you know, that's Dennis's job. Every week, and he sends the email newsletter to, we send a different one to customers and to prospects. But the stuff that it is like squarely on my plate, nobody else knows how to do any of it, is like all this nurture sequence and conversion tracking stuff that I feel like, honestly, you don't have to do all the time, you know, but,
yep.
But like you're saying, like it's a big area for potential improvement. And so like, a person could do this, not full time, but, you know, spend more time than I am doing this. And so that's kind of where I feel pulled, I guess.
Those are the pieces that I see myself owning for a while because, yeah, right now I don't see enough full-time work in other areas of marketing to hire someone there. It's like, I think there's more we can do on SEO. So I'd like to work with a consultant or an agency, whatever it may be. On that, I don't think it's not a big enough thing to do in-house. So it's like, okay, we can check that off there. The rest of it, though, it's just like, yeah, we create more evergreen content. And I work with a couple of the partners on doing that. They do a lot of the planning. And I basically just act as like an MC to kind of host it and like kind of make sure we're hitting the topics we want to hit and then edit it and all of that. But that's a few times a quarter. It's like, that's fine. But a lot of like the way we have things set up, I feel like just through our own team or through contractors, we can get things done. And it's just that last piece is the conversion elements, the marketing automation stuff. And I think, yeah, it's not a full-time job. I do well with it now. So I feel like I'll own that for a bit. But yeah, they're definitely meaty projects. Like, they're big. It takes, I'm a slow writer when it comes to that kind of thing. Yeah, it's just always hard to do. But at the same time, because it is evergreen and where it is in the funnel, everything else that your team is doing on marketing feeds into these. So you get an insane amount of leverage there. Your writer is creating regular emails and regular blog posts, but all of those blog posts cumulatively are pointing to this one thing, or maybe two funnels that you build out. So it's worth the time, in my opinion, to, like, it is a high value task that I think is hard to outsource, but I know there are people who do it. I mean, do you think it's something where, what is now taking your priority over that pass? Like, what's taking up your time that's preventing you from doing it?
Yeah, I think it's more prioritization. You know, like, I need to just say, like, okay, Thursday morning, I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to do email. I'm not going to, you know, talk product with the team and all this kind of stuff. I just need to sit down and knock this out. And in a few hours, I can get a lot of it done. But yeah, I think it's just kind of been hanging over my head. But the other stuff that I do is, yeah, a lot of work with the developers, a lot of product, a lot of kind of strategic planning around, you know, positioning and stuff like that. And, you know, now we're getting into actual sales. So working, like, with the folks that are helping us with sales. Yeah, I think it's maybe not as much the actual time is like the split of focus, you know, it is like, it's just there and it just kind of claws at me, you know, mentally a little bit. Say like, oh, don't forget, you have this thing that is, you know, not doing great and it's your job. Yeah. Like, there's no one else that you can pawn this off on. You know, if I look at our next like three or four hires, it's not a full-time marketing person. But after that, it probably is, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you think about, like, there are people that are excellent content creators. And I think we have a very, very, very good writer, but he only works a handful of hours a week for us.
Yeah.
And he is not the person to do this on-page optimization stuff, you know, because we've talked about it. And he's like, I'm not interested. I don't like that stuff. Like, I just want to write. And yeah, so I wonder, like, you know, could we get somebody for, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month part-time to do on-page optimization, which is like, if I did as much as I wanted to, that's all I would do, basically, you know, so it's not a full-time job, but just have somebody to own it. I think that could be valuable. But I do think that, especially having Denise work on this and I didn't touch it for a year, it probably deserves my time and like only my time, because I know the, you know, the thought process and all the other content we have and all the stuff the product does. And so almost as an audit of all this, you know, it needs to be me, you know, for now at least.
Right. This is definitely a topic for another podcast, but I've been dealing with similar issues with you, where it's, there's so much management, there's so much coordination that it is hard to tackle the things that we still need to do ourselves. And I think it's going to be a long time before there's nothing that, like, there's no projects at all that we have to move forward ourselves. And I mean, I'm just thinking about blocking off the mornings and just trying to be more deliberate about this, of just saying, unless there's a fire, don't expect to hear from me until noon Eastern or something like that, just so that I can, all right, move forward. Even if it's not every day, if it's just a few days a week, that's my time to move forward on my projects. And then I can feel better about the rest of the day, just letting it be taken over by all the management things that come up. But have you experimented with like time blocking at all like that?
Yeah, I mean, we have, in a way, like, living over here is like a curse, because, you know, we're podcasting at 6 o'clock at night and like I have another call at 8. But it's also a blessing that, like, you know, from 8 to 2, nobody in the US is up. You know, and so I should be able to really block off at least the morning. You know, the kids go to school, so by 8:30 I'm working, and until noon I have nobody needs my time if our developers don't need something, which they don't a lot of times. So yeah, I mean, I should be able to block that off well. I just do a poor job of being really deliberate about it. But yeah, I think that's the obvious answer. Yeah.
It's tough because I think what I need to do a better job of is communicating that to the team more, because I feel like if I get tagged in Slack during that time period, I'm going to respond to it because I don't want people to feel like I'm leaving them hanging. But if I just upfront them, it's like, guys, like, if it's an emergency, let me know and I'll be there. But otherwise, let's wait until the afternoon, and just making it clear to everyone that I am blocking this time off, because I think I go in with that intention, but it's just hard to follow through with it. So I have to loop everyone else in to my plans as well, I guess.
Something that I just got out yesterday is my noise canceling headphones. I know you wear them like a lot, but again, I don't do this often enough, but like when I really want to go heads down and get something done, I turn those on and just do like ambient sound, you know, of like a city or something like that. And it's really effective. So just say like headphones on, work hard for 2 hours. And yeah, you can get a ton of stuff done in like 2 really good hours. And then the rest of the day for meetings and coordinating and team stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this because she doesn't want to know that I'm spreading the gospel of noise canceling headphones because she hates mine. Because I truly just wear them all day because I don't know. I'm just weird about noise. Okay. And yeah, it's finding a way to just get into that zone, and like ambient music plus noise canceling headphones is the path for me. So I'm glad there's other disciples out there.
Yeah. Awesome.
This has been fun digging into kind of some more tactical, or at least like not even tactical, but just like strategic marketing decisions, how we're thinking about this, as well as the challenges of actually executing on that when there's so many other directions that we're getting pulled in. I know that there's a lot that I'm going to be sorting out over the next few weeks, especially as we look to make some other hires, and I just try to really tackle these issues. So I'm excited to share some of those findings with you and get your opinion there as well. But it's been fun catching up, Craig.
Awesome, man.